Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Combox Live, where the game lives on, it never dies. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DeafMango on Twitter. With me is Rob Barron, my good mate, who you can find at MostSoJudge on Twitter. And then we've got Varun filling in for Jared, who you cannot find on social media, even if you try. What a bloodbath that we've seen or witnessed today at the Eden Gardens, fellas. It was absolute carnage. New Zealand smashed South Africa by 9 wickets and 43 balls to spare. I see that Rob Barron's name today is Finn Allen's knock. What about that, Rob?
Well, it was nuts, wasn't it? It was. So he came into the tournament in really, really good form, and he hasn't done one yet in this World Cup, has he? He hasn't kicked on. He's done a few good starts, and then off he goes. But the form that he had coming into it from the Big Bash, he was one of the best players, if not the best, in the Big Bash. He was hitting it really clean. That's the word that I would use for his hitting. He's obviously a big, powerful guy. We've always known that. But he's getting consistency with it, which is massive when you're one of those. It used to be like, it was 2 or 3 years ago, wasn't it, where he just had this 3 months where he was unbelievable and he was just doing it every game. But he had no consistency about him across his career. But he's putting them together now. And I think he said in the interview after the game that, like, oh, I had some plans and I thought I would play these shots against these bowlers and stuff. But he was seeing it, like they say you see it like a beach ball. He was seeing it so well. And it was flying off the middle. And he just made everyone else look rubbish. He made Seifert look rubbish, who basically faced the same number of balls, didn't he, and scored about half the runs. It was just ridiculous. Just beautifully pure animal brutality. And it was wonderful. It wasn't just one of those amazing pitch. It wasn't a Romario, was it? It wasn't, I'm just going to stand there because I've got big muscles and whack everything and I'm so strong they're all going to fly over the rope. He was timing the hell out of it and he was playing ramps and premeditated scoot. There was one bit where it was like Ngidi at the start went slower ball, slower ball, slower ball. And he went, well, he's definitely not going to do it fourth time. So I'm getting ready for the ramp. And then he ramped him for six, didn't he? It was really good, clear hitting and clear thinking and fair play. Like really, really impressive stuff that was.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite feral in nature, Varun. Finn Allen got to his half century of 19 balls. And then he doubled up in the next 14 deliveries. He was unbeaten on 100 off 33. This is now the fastest ever T20 I-100 against a test-playing nation and the fastest ever in the T20 World Cup as well. What are your thoughts on that magnificent knock, Alvaconda?
That was absolutely insane, right? And the hilarious thing is, Behram, this whole week or like past 2 weeks, all we kept saying was South Africa will probably beat New Zealand because New Zealand aren't going to give you a 10 out of 10 performance. Yeah. And they gave us a 10 out of 10 batting performance, right, in the semifinals. And South Africa, by some distance, was probably the worst batting performance this World Cup, right? Like, they chose today. Like, we know how the narrative is going to be, right, after this. It's, even though it wasn't going to be the C word, people will say it's the C word. I'd argue it's more of a bottle job than it was a choke job. But, like,
I think bottle job is just a synonym for choke job. This was just New Zealand completely outplaying South Africa.
No, no, no. Bottle job is different to choking, I think. I'd argue they're different.
Explain, Baron.
Yeah, because I think they're the same thing.
No, no, no. Choke, as you keep saying, is what do you call it? It's like that is entirely dependent on you being in a dominant position and then you fucking it up, right? Bottle could be, you could bottle the game at any given point. Or it could be at the start of a game when you're perhaps there's nothing on the line. Or it could be right at the end. Like a choke is a bottle, but not all bottles are chokes.
Interesting.
I get it.
I would just say that they were outplayed, South Africa entirely, with the ball, with the bat, but maybe not in the field.
I think it is a bottle simply because their first 5 wickets went to New Zealand's 4-6 bowlers. Like, how the hell do you manage that as a team, right? Like, okay, if Matt Henry's swinging the ball, like Lockie's bowling you, I can understand it, right? You gave it like 2 in a row to McConkie. Then you gave one to Jimmy Neesham of all people somehow. And Rachin Ravindra, for whatever reason, has like got this like the ghost of all the great spinners of the past in him for the past 3 games. Like, I physically cannot explain it. He might spin New Zealand to a World Cup win here. And I genuinely don't think any analysis can ever explain how the hell he managed that.
Yeah, it is rather bizarre that Rachin, after taking 4 for 27 versus Sri Lanka, then 3 for 19 versus England. He ended up with 2 for 29 today as well and 2 big wickets at that. He removed Aidan Markram off his 4th ball and then in his 2nd over, he got rid of David Miller twice, wasn't it? Like, first he was dropped Miller off Ravindra and then he was eventually caught trying to hit a no-look 6 down the ground. But yeah, so 2 for 29 in this one, which means that across 3 games, Rachin Ravindra has managed, what, 9 wickets in 12 overs. It sounds so weird when I say this.
It's not possible.
And he's conceded what? 75 runs? 65 runs? Something like that? 75 runs. Insane. 9 for 75 in 12 overs.
We've just ended up with this this wild card question mark animal that the ICC have put into this tournament. And one day he wears a Will Jacks costume, and then the next day he wears a Ratchin Ravindra costume, and he's just rocks up, and he's like stunning with the bat when he needs to be, and he just takes mad wickets, even though if you watch the action and watch the ball come out of the hand and hit the pitch, it doesn't look like it's going to get anybody out. Today, I get it on the spinny ones, right? Ravindra can turn up and it's ragging miles and he can turn the ball fine, right? Any old spinner can get wickets on those. But we were here today, right? We definitely played where we did. And New Zealand didn't make it look like it ragged loads, did they? Maharaj wasn't turning it, but still, Ravindra walks in. I mean, McConkie gets two in an over and they're like, he's done his job. We don't need him again. What's going on? Like, the thing is, right, you can say, I think I agree with Varun, the bottle and the choke difference, because they didn't chuck it away when they didn't suddenly get nervous. They were just total shit from the start. De Kock got one or two away, didn't he? He got six away, I think, early. And then you think, okay, well, he's been rubbish for a while this tournament. You know, he unretired himself, got the runs against India. He wanted to play in this. He's been pretty crap. But for McConkie to come on, and he basically went, I am going to whack him whatever happens, forgot to like get in line, play a proper shot. He's just like, I'm going to whack this. The ball wasn't there to be whacked, so he just knocked it to mid on, wasn't it? Just sort of chipped it to him. And then Rickleton's been a gun this tournament. He's been in really, really good form, blasting it everywhere. And he just went, it was a rubbish ball when he should have hit it, but he could have hit it anywhere. And it's like, there's three fielders lined up. One's there, one's there, one's there. And he's like, well, I'll just hit it to one of them then. And it went straight into his hands all of a sudden, you know, 2-2. And Markram, what was he up to today? He's been amazing this tournament, Markram. Like, revelation, super intent, belting the sixes in the power play. And then Ravindra comes on. And it's like, well, you know, it's not spinning, lads. You can smoke him if you want, or at least, you know, you're a couple down in the eighth over or whatever. No, I'm not as sure as everyone else is that he caught that. But it was one of those decisions that could have easily gone either way. And they just got themselves into a mess. It wasn't the bowling that got... And Miller was doing his absolute best to get out. He was lucky to get six off six. And he got out to Ravindra. And then Brevis, who was actually threatening to be the monster that they needed to get them to the big score, gets out to the worst bowler of all of them, Neesham.
Yeah.
And what are they doing? What is this cricket team? Is it because they shouldn't know it's a knockout? Somebody should, like, hypnotise them or get them in a room as soon as the previous game finishes. They said, just another Super 8 game. We're already through, lads. Doesn't matter. We've got to play New Zealand again. That's the tournament rules. And they wouldn't have played like that. So whether you want to call it bottling or they cannot play in knockout games or whatever you want to call it, it did happen again. They collectively, if it wasn't for Marco Jansen's batting in that first innings, all of them were terrible. All of them. And when you look at it, Markram, De Kock, Rickleton and Miller, between them, these are good cricketers. They faced 35 balls and they got 34 for four. So when you've got the opening batsman for the other team who faces less balls than that and scores 100 for none, like, you're under it, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean,
this is actually, I think, part of Jared's theory that even though this isn't a choke necessarily, and I call it a bottle, that I think he said that in the past as well, that South African batters usually in a knockout bat slower than they do in any other game. Uh-huh. Right, and that applies more to the first innings, which we saw today, which is different to the chasing chokes which they have done in the past, right? And that, like, watching Markram bat was weird. And one of the comments was mentioning rightly that New Zealand kept bowling to his body, and that at one point they showed the beehive of Markram, and the only time he could get boundaries was when they bowled wide. They just kept bowling at his legs, which is, again, good bowling plans, right? But still, Markram is one of the scariest pace hitters in the world, right? When he's on one, he can absolutely demoralize you. And he has this whole World Cup, but he didn't today. I don't know. Again, it's insane. It's so stupid.
Yeah, I mean, there were some fun facts that I read prior to this game. New Zealand had never defeated South Africa at the T20 World Cup. They didn't play them in any knockouts, though, because South Africa have never defeated New Zealand in an ICC knockout game, right? At least World Cup knockout game. So those were some interesting things coming into this game. Not that they meant much. South Africa were the better team. And New Zealand won a good toss, you know, because we knew that they'll be due in the second inning. So New Zealand winning the toss and Santner opting to field first was the right call. It didn't come down to that, though. That's not why they won this game. They won this game because they absolutely butchered South Africa. And after making a weird call in selection, They replaced a frontline bowler in Inderbir Sodhi, who I would have replaced as well, but I would have brought Jacob Duffy in. They opted for Jimmy Neesham. They went 9-2 with their formation, and they really had three bowlers today, right? Lockie, Henry, and Mitch Santner.
Yeah, so what all of us are expecting is they'll either bring Neesham for McConkie or they'll bring Duffy for Sodhi. They did neither.
Yeah.
It is quite hilarious, right? Because I thought that they were very, very light when it comes to their bowling. We often talk about, as Akshu was saying in the Super Chat, that he jinxed South Africa by saying that New Zealand don't have a good fifth bowler. Your analysis was spot on. New Zealand do not have a good fifth bowler. Their squad depth when it comes to bowling is not great. And today they didn't even have a good fourth bowler.
Cole McConkie.
You know, was he was their fourth bowler. He bowls the second over of the game, concedes 9 runs, but he was on a hat-trick. On his fourth ball, he gets De Kock, top edges after trying to rock back and pull. And then he gets Ryan Rickelton, very next ball, slashing out to short third. He was on a hat-trick. Cole McConkie, in a big knockout game versus South Africa, on a pitch which has had no demons on it, was on a hat-trick. That tells you everything you need to know. The first five
Here's the thing, if they had a slip, it would have been taken wickets.
Yeah.
If they actually had a slip, it would have been a hat-trick, right?
How is there not a slip? If he's got anything other than Cole McConkie, there is at least a slip. I don't get it. I don't even know if New Zealand have a great third bowler, considering how Santner doesn't get any wickets anymore. And he did such a Santner today. What was it? None for 25 or whatever it was.
Yeah. And Henry isn't always good all the time, is he, Rob?
Well, right? Matt Henry actually had just flown back from New Zealand after the birth of his child. He still did all right, right? What, two for how many was it? 2 for 34 in four overs. Wasn't their best bowler, though. Santner had Mitchell Santner coded figures, though. None for 25 is exactly what you expect from Mitch Santner. He's great at varying his pace as well, so he did his job. I thought Lockie actually had his best game of the T20 World Cup today. None for 9 in two power play overs and ends up with 1 for 29. Goes for a few runs at the death, but then I thought he was quite clinical and they bowled him in the correct phases as well. So Santner's captaincy, barring giving Jimmy Neesham so many overs, was spot on. Neesham should have never bowled in the power play, at least not the fifth over. And then Neesham should have never come back. He did. He picked up Brevis's wicket, who after Jansen looked like South Africa's best batter. And that was a proper giveaway. It was catching practice. He just literally carved the ball straight into cover's hands and it was such an abysmal performance by South Africa, which is why I don't want to call this a choke or a bottle job. This was just bad cricket. They did not play well at all.
No, I think what Varun said earlier, you know, use whatever word you want for it, but they didn't play the same way they've played all tournament. And so when you've played a certain style of cricket to get you this far by winning every game, don't forget, all right, the Afghanistan one, they had to win it 10 or 11 times, but they won every game is a fact before this one. And they're decent favourites to beat New Zealand, and they're better than on paper with bat and with ball. You know, this New Zealand side isn't as good as all the other ones that have made semis and finals. It isn't as good if you read the names out. They didn't bat the same way. And when Markram is chewing 20 balls, what's he been on after 20 balls in this tournament? 38? 40? He was on 18 today when he got out off his 20th ball, and he wasn't facing particularly good bowlers. They collectively, I mean, how many times has Brevis faced 27 balls and only got 34? You know, it felt like he was playing well, but he wasn't really. One of his sixes was one-handed miss hit. They just didn't turn up is what happened. You know, catastrophe theory is when you over-prepare or when you're so up for it that you just collectively are utterly useless. But bear in mind, though, they still did get 169 somehow in that first innings because New Zealand bowling isn't all that good. And they didn't shuffle the pack particularly well. But the South Africa bowlers don't get a pass because they've been awesome this tournament collectively as a unit. And today, every single one of them was rubbish. Every single one of them. Nobody gets a pass. The fielders didn't help. You know, De Kock started the nonsense when basically Brevis, who's very good at catching and he's young and he's definitely got like eyes and arms and legs and hand eye and all that stuff. Like no question about that. All he had to do was walk in 15 yards from where he was. Was it long off or long on? All he had to do. No, he was behind the wicket, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All he had to do from
fine leg.
Fine leg, sorry. All he had to do from fine leg was walk in 15 paces. The ball was in the air for ages. All he had to do was walk in 15 paces, facing the ball, catch it, bread basket, done. You're out. Could have been very different. Then New Zealand are all of a sudden in a game. Instead, De Kock screamed for it. Brevis should have told him, no, mate, I've got this. It's a really easy catch. Instead, De Kock is running around in backward circles and put in a dive, got nowhere near the ball, ends up on the grass. The confidence just shot to hell from South Africa. That was it. The balloon, if there was any air left in the balloon, they burst it in that moment and that was it. Game over. They never looked back, did they?
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things: the phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny SIMs and get the one that does it all. Go to Sally.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Sally.
I mean, that was the one opportunity that South Africa had to kind of break through in the power play, right? Because it was a pretty, you know, massive top edge, and there was a lot of hang time. That ball stayed in the air for a long, long time, and Seifert was on 11. It wasn't de Kock's catch, I agree with Rob. It was Dewald Brevis's catch, but de Kock calls for it, so Brevis backs off, and then he makes a meal out of that, right? And Seifert survives on 11, who wasn't looking good at the start. He was struggling at the start. Ultimately, even Seifert scores a 28-ball 50 and 58 of 33. So that was a lapse. But then I would go back to the first innings. And I think what Jared usually says about South Africa and what Warren shed light to earlier is that South Africa don't bat fast enough in knockouts. The innings progression paints a very similar picture. South Africa were 48 for 2 after the power play, which is below par, right? Even if you've lost 2 wickets, below 50 is not good. In 10 overs, or at the 10-over mark, South Africa was 77 for 4. Then they lose a few more wickets. Stubbs comes out, and Stubbs is trying to Dhoni his way through his innings, right? At the 15-over mark, South Africa, 108 for 5, right? They did actually exceptionally well in the death overs, or the finish overs, to get to 169 for 8. They scored 61 runs in the last 5 overs for the loss of 3 wickets. And that kind of somewhat gives them a glimmer of hope, because chasing down anything below 190, I feel, in Kolkata with dew potentially around the corner was going to be tough work. But New Zealand finished this game in the power play. They were 84 for no loss in the power play, and they chased the target down in 12.5 overs. So this was absolute carnage. Like, it was a proper spanking. And it's incredible how we kept saying, Varun, that New Zealand are a consistently 8 on 10 team, and today they were, what, 11 on 10? But they did drop catches, though. They did fuck up over there, Rob. And I'm sure that riled you up.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't feel very well, and they didn't bowl particularly well. And I don't think they were really well captained, to be honest. Like, they did a fair bit wrong. I think South Africa had, I mean, I don't massively like the word, but they had loads of momentum at one point, you know, over 17, wasn't it, when Marco hit the button and Henry got whacked for 15, and then Neesham came back, and we were like, not Neesham now, went for 22, like, reasonably predictable runs. But then after Stubbs got out to Lockie, you're like, oh, they might just bugger this up and get 155. Marco went 6-6 again. And the last ball of the 19th was a dot, and they should have run the bye then. You know, Boss, who cares? Who cares whether you want Marco to face all the rest of the balls if possible. They should have run the bye. You know, there's no, your favourite to get the run. And if you don't, Marco's on strike anyway, so you might as well do it. And it ended up that he only managed to face, what, 2 balls in the last over. And they only got, how many did they get off the last over? I can't remember. They only got 6 off the last over. Now, if that's 16, then you're talking a kind of a proper score, you know, 180. And those sort of things in knockout games can make all the difference. It wouldn't have made much difference today the way they started with the ball. Like I say, they had the chance early. If they're 11 for 1, you know, does Alan play exactly the same? Probably does. He was awesome. Mm-hmm. And you can say South Africa could have performed optimally all round. You probably need Brevis to open to do what Alan did. And I'm not sure he can. I'm not sure he can do the, I know I've seen him. Yeah. I know I've seen him in South Africa domestic, got that ridiculous 170 odd, didn't he? But can he do it on the world stage when you have to face the tough bowlers first? Probably not. So maybe there isn't a route for South Africa.
In his defense, he wouldn't have been facing that tough bowlers today.
Sorry, sorry about it.
Yeah, he would be facing McConkey.
If Brevis was opening, he wouldn't actually be facing tough bowlers today.
But it was not. It was like, what a fantastic innings. We shouldn't forget that, right? South Africa did loads of crap stuff, but that knock of 100 off 33, and God knows if he faced another 20 balls, what happens then? How many more has he got? Probably another 100, right? The way he was going. It was like 6-6-4-4 by the end. He was just seeing everything. So, and it didn't matter where they bowled, it was going.
I think he was almost calculating it perfectly to get 100, wasn't he? He was like, okay, cool. I need 17 runs. Okay, to get it, I have to hit 6-6-4-6. Boom. And he almost does that. Right? That's
well,
exactly.
I mean, has he bagged the player of the match award, though?
Yeah, of course he has. Yeah.
Who would you give it to? He better have. But you know what I find quite alarming? Sure, South Africa was slow. They were poor with the bat. They got opportunities, man. I mean, the Rachin drop of Markram was quite poor. He was at short mid-wicket. It came into his hands and he dropped it. Markram was on 3. And Markram ultimately scores 18 of 20, which is a net negative knock. So if anything, that drop catch helps New Zealand. And then David Miller, off the bowling of Rachin Ravindra, is dropped on 3 as well. And then he doesn't cash in either. He's 6 off 6. And like Rob said, he's lucky to have scored 6 off 6. So despite the drop catches, South Africa couldn't kind of, you know, press their foot on the gas. And this was just a really, really abysmal show with the bat. They had lost this game in the first innings. 170 was not a big enough target to defend at the Eden Gardens in Kolkata. You know, short boundary, square of the wicket, potential due in the second innings. And then it was just a complete no-show in the second innings, right? It was just the Finn Allen and Tim Seifert show. And boy, were we entertained. But also, I would have preferred a bit of a contest.
So I have a question for the both of you, right? So if he is the power of hindsight, do you think they brought Maharaj into the game a bit too late? Deep comes in after the power play, right? The game was basically done at that point. He could have had almost no impact whatsoever. So looking at the first innings and how Santner did well and McConkie got 2 and Rachin got 2, do you reckon they could have maybe given Maharaj one of the earlier overs against 2 right-handed batters? And neither of them are particularly, like, at least like Seifert can play spin. Finn Allen, from what we know, doesn't like spin early on, right?
Yeah. Okay. I think they gave Marco the first over because his adrenaline was all the way up because of his batting. I get that, right? I'm all right with that. So that's why
they gave him bowler, right? Makes sense.
They don't normally do that.
Yeah.
Then they go Rabada, who creates the chance. So Rabada bowled a good first over, actually. It went for 8, but it could have there was a really lucky 4 in there and a drop. So you've got to give him another one. So that's cool. They then get rid of Marco because he didn't bowl a good first over. And he came back and they belted him for 18. So no more Marco, right? Who else are you going to bowl? Lungi bowls number 4. That's fine too, because he's got the most wickets for them and he's been brilliant this World Cup. I don't mind that at all. But that's probably the bit where you go, okay, let's have a look. They go Rabada again. Fine. That's not the worst decision. He goes for 11. No, he doesn't. He goes for 14. That's when you bowl him. That over number 6, you go, all right, Maharaj time now, because they're getting away here. They've just gone 18, 11, 14. Now you do it. What they did do is bowl Corbin Bosch, who goes for 22, and then they've lost. They've already lost 84 for none after 6. They've lost the game because then Maharaj comes on and they go, all right, if he bowls a bad ball, it's going to the fence. Otherwise, we'll just play him out. It's so much easier to play somebody out when you're 84 for none off 6, isn't it, in the 7th. You just go, all right, fine. We'll take 7 off the over, easy as you like. And he's not in the game at all. That 22 off Corbin Bosch, what are they doing there? Just rolling the dice? Yeah, that's, you can make a case for the first 5, which I just did, of who bowls when, but it had to be him number 6, didn't it?
But Rob, your favourite phrase is upping the volatility. Could you not argue bowling Bosch at that point is exactly that, right? Like, unfortunately, just Finn Allen was in too good a form. I think.
But if you've got one spinner, do you want to bowl him when you're 12% to win, or do you want to bowl him when you're 1% to win, basically?
That's
the question.
See, I don't think Maharaj has a spectacular record bowling in the power play, but even if, let's assume that he did, New Zealand were already off to a flyer, right? I think that one moment where Quinton de Kock messes up that catching opportunity of Seifert, that was a real blow to South Africa, because those two guys were men on a mission and they wanted to end the game in the power play, and they did eventually. They scored half the runs that they needed to chase in the power play, right? 84 out of 170 is nearly 50%. It's like 49%. So even if they had done that, I agree that maybe perhaps upping the volatility by sending in Maharaj to bowl in the power play could have brought about a wicket. But then again, I don't think the result would have been any different. Perhaps they would have won it in 15.5 overs at most, as opposed to 12.5 overs. That's the most I can see. This game was done in the first innings. And then, yeah, South Africa, the only way they could claw their way back into this contest was taking quick wickets with a new ball, power play wickets, at least 3 to 4 of them. And those wickets never came.
Yeah, they just got dealt with. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can try and make cases. They should have done this. They should have played better, shouldn't they? They should have all played better.
Yeah. And I think the issue was, right, I think to bowl to Seifert, you need to be very specific with your lines and lengths. And Marco is anything but that. He could bowl 3 unplayable deliveries and 3 absolute filth ones in the same over. And I think in Test cricket, you'd see this a lot. They'd be like Marco Jansen 7-for, where he'd bowl 3 full tosses on the leg side randomly, right? He still hasn't worked out what his best bowling thing is. So, like, it just had to be perfect. And unfortunately, they went completely wrong for South Africa in the very first over itself. And you were right, Behram. Like, the game was basically done by the fifth over, and it was completely done at the end of the power play, right? They changed completely. Rob, I don't know what the odds were. Like, how massively did they swing after that one over?
Yeah, it was the market basically folded then. They were like, it's still, they're still alive after the Rabada one. And they were a bit lucky early, like some of those edges for four. If the slips were further up, they might have got a couple early. You know, they seemed to sort of dribble through the slips for four, didn't they? And Rickleton had one where he misfielded it in the covers early. Like, they weren't switched on in any facet of the game, South Africa. And if you do that against New Zealand, you've lost. If you're not showing up with bat, ball, field, done, bye. Like, they're not going to throw a game away. New Zealand don't do that. So, yeah, they got absolutely and utterly murdered in that game. Let's not forget that. It was a complete fisting all the way through. And, like, if you're South Africa, and they'll definitely come out and say, oh, we didn't choke and we just got beaten by a better team on the day and all that. But it's a huge concern. Like, if I'm a South African fan there, I'm like, what are we going to do about this knockout thing? Because it is definitely a thing. I'm not having it that it isn't. And people can go, oh, well, World Test Championship. Let's be real here. White ball stuff, you know, over 4 or 5 days, the better team usually emerges. But white ball stuff, it's if you show up on the day and execute all your skills, as they always say, you give yourself the best chance. And they didn't do that today. They didn't execute their skills. And not a single man there in the 11 for South Africa can come off and say, I did my main job really well today. And none of them really did half a job. None of them.
Yeah. I mean, both of their senior players, Aidan Markram, captain, top run scorer for South Africa in this competition. He was dropped on 3. He doubles down and plays an even worse knock, right? 18 of 20. And Miller was the hero versus India. He's dropped on 3 and he also doesn't make most of that opportunity. Also, have you seen the big difference between the running between the wickets of both sides? New Zealand were converting 2s to 3s. South Africa's running was so poor that the 2s were 1s. That was really, really bad. You need to be giving it everything in South Africa. Just, they didn't seem switched on for this contest.
No. They weren't. They weren't. They were crap. All of it was crap. It was very, very disappointing because the good thing about it being a total blowout game, which is never really fun, is it? When one team annihilates the other, it's never fun, is we got to see the Finn Allen 100 in all its glory. And that was awesome. I don't mind it so much. Like, if they'd have just, you know, 3 of them got 50 and they knocked the runs off 4 down or whatever, you'd be like, oh, that was so rubbish. But we did get to see an absolutely brilliant 100 in the chase. You know, I'm not going to forget that, Alan Knott. Otherwise, if they'd have just been 3 down and you know, knocked the runs off in 15 overs or 18 overs, let's say, it would have been completely forgettable. But yeah, South Africa, that was garbage, like proper garbage.
Yeah, and you know, who else would be happy other than New Zealand fans and potentially Indian fans, because they'd rather face New Zealand in the final as opposed to South Africa? The KKR fans, and Shah Rukh Khan in particular. Aren't Seifert and Finn Allen signed up by KKR for this upcoming IPL season?
They are, right?
Yeah, and they both scored big at the Eden Gardens. I mean, Seifert's knock was okay, although 28 ball 50s are generally good, but he was, what, 58 of 33? Fine. Finn Allen might be the coup of this entire auction window, right? He is going to play for Kolkata in this upcoming season. And in a big knockout game at the Eden Gardens, he smashed a 19-ball 50 and unbeaten on 100 of 33. The fastest ever T20 I-100 versus a test-playing nation. Now, that's something.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Right? Because KKR even last year had serious opener issues, so they'd be very happy. Again, the problem is in the IPL, it's only 4 overseas slots. So I don't know how it helps the balance of the squad if you both of them play, because I cannot remember their squad at all. I know Russell's not part of it, so that frees up one slot for them.
I know the Fizz is not part of it.
So Rovman's in it. I'm trying to think of batters. It's Cypher and Rovman are the other overseas. You've obviously got Narine.
They have Rutchen, right?
Ravindra, And of course, the £2.1 million man who is
Green, right?
You got him,
Cameron
and
Green.
Pathirana is the other one. Remember, they signed Pathirana, didn't they?
Yes.
Who's injured, isn't he? Right now, and who knows how fit you can get that guy. But that's quite competitive, isn't it, for your overseas? Like, Narine's a lock. Alan is now a lock, isn't he, after that?
Yeah.
So there's two. You kind of have to pick Green if you spent that much on him. You kind of have to put him in for the start, and he balances the side and all that, so I guess he's a lock. Hmm. Then the other one, are you going with no overseas out-and-out bowlers? Probably. You probably are. I want to see some Umrah Malik. That's what I want to see.
Well, I mean, Seifert has done quite well in recent times. I saw him score a Big Bash 102 at the start of the league, right? Like, if I'm not mistaken. Rob Barron, you probably remember because you follow that entire league. But yeah. I think this is one of the most criminally underrated T20 opening batting pairs. I've seen a lot of Seifert and Finnan.
It's also
in
might be the only informed one in the semis. I think.
Yeah. Look, they smashed Pakistan at the start of 2025, and I was like, okay, these guys mean business. And then they just continued to go at the rate of knots. And at the start of this T20 World Cup as well, I was saying everyone's going to be talking about Hedden Marsh, Abhishek and Sanju / Ishan, and also throw in, what's their name, man? Butler and Salt. No one really talked about Seifert and Finn Allen, and they've shown the world exactly what they're capable of.
Yeah, well, form is such a big deal. I said this before the tournament started. You basically need, if you're going to win the T20 World Cup, you need some people, some bats usually, to be in gun form, and they just continue it and have a great 3 weeks or whatever it is. Or, in the case of Phil Annan, you know the form's there, and he just does two massive ones and you won the World Cup. And Allen in the Big Bash got 466 runs, including a really good ton, 184 strike rate. That's in 11 games, right? And Cypher, as I'm just looking it up now, 285, including 100, at 148 in his 10 games, right? That's pretty good. And the second most sixes in the whole of the Big Bash was Mitch Marsh with 20. Phil Allen got 38. So he's wandering into the World Cup as like, I'm in great form. Seifert's in great form. We've got, you know, that's such a massive deal. Whereas you've got Butler, who is properly struggling for England, like the worst he's ever struggled, I think. And he looks very unhappy with life. And I saw an interview with Sam Curran yesterday, and he basically, and Mark Butcher's been advocating it as well, basically saying, well, he just needs a knot where he takes his time and we know he can catch up later and all that. Are you going to do that in a World Cup semi-final against India? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to be 15 or 15?
The too, right?
Yeah. Is that the plan when you bat all the way down when Will Jackson's getting it every time? I'm not sure it is. I'm not sure that is the right answer. But they had an out-of-form Butler, and Salt felt like he was in quite good form, but not like a big run of good scores before the World Cup. India's openers, they're lucky that Sanju turned up, really.
Yeah.
Because Abhishek hasn't been Abhishek. It feels mad to say, but when he got his 50, that was really pedestrian for him. What was it, 31 balls or something, that 50? It felt like he was just, at one point, didn't he get 10 off 10 in the middle of that 50?
Yeah, well, that was the offies.
Yeah.
Well, he started off really quick,
33
right?
of Abhishek. 13 to 55-30.
Yeah, 33 of 13 in the power play. Then he got to his 50 of like 26 balls and then ended up with 55 of 30. Again, not a bad effort at all for any other batter in the world, but we're talking about Abhishek Sharma, and that's not what he does.
I think that was closer to high-intent Virat than it is high-intent Abhishek, is the best way I can put it.
That's basically low-intent Abhishek.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, if you look at South Africa today, it's really tough to find any positives. The only person who really turned up for a fight was Marco Jansen with the bat. I mean, they were going really, really poorly, and then Jansen slams a 27-ball 50. He's unbeaten on 55 of 30, so he literally plays the Abhishek knock. Yeah, just slightly better because he doesn't get up. 55
of 30 versus 53 of 17 for Jansen today.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, look. Oh, he went for 57 runs?
Was it 53 of 17 balls, I think he went for.
No way. Yeah. That's how much he...
Yeah,
damn, man.
He got really a half century in bat and ball. Yeah.
So basically, he is a negative for the game.
Yeah,
he's a negative
managed,
for the game.
Like, how South African knockout-y is that performance? Like, he actually did a good one with the bat and got them back into it. Yeah. And then he obliterated it with the ball by himself. At one point in that game, the thing is, he's another one, Marco, that the good Marco Jansen at bowling is so good. You know, the SA20 one that turns up in all those finals and wins them for his team and gets 2 for 20 or whatever he gets, or 3 for 16 he got in one of them or something. You're like, that guy's amazing. But then the one that turned up today, it's just kind of gangly giraffe who is on roller skates and is somehow getting his arms and legs to the crease at the same time. And then the ball goes down in the slot and then it goes in the slot again. And then it's on the pads and you're like, bloody hell, what is this? And And it always seems with South Africa that the giraffe one turns up when it matters. You know, the big knockout game. That's when the roller skates go on. And otherwise, you know, SA20, which he seems to absolutely love, he's the best version of himself, which is so scary. The really good Marco Jansen, very, very good. This one, rubbish. But Corbin Bosch has been awesome all tournament, I thought. Like pretty, he's gone under the radar. He's been class. Like him and Ngidi not going for any runs at the death, like between them, run a ball stuff, like prime Bumrah numbers they've got, those two between them, this World Cup. And that isn't an exaggeration. They didn't even get to the bloody death in the semi-final. It wasn't approaching death. They didn't even get to 13 overs.
Yeah, well, Bosch's first over, which was the sixth over of the power play, went for 6-4, 4-4, 4-4, and the dot ball was a wide for me. Yeah. Right? Like, I was surprised they didn't call a wide.
Yeah, a pity no call from the ump. It's like, you know, he's already dead. You know, the Simpsons one.
Yeah. And then there's also the other Simpsons one where it's like, stop, stop, he's already dead. That's basically what New Zealand did to South Africa today. But anyway, we have a bunch of Super Chats to take as well. But before that, we will be taking a short break. You guys are watching Combox Live with Behram, Rob Barron and Varun. And go nowhere, because we will be back very, very shortly.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Combox Live. You are with Behram and Rob Barron, apparently. Varun has left the station. And Rob, we've got like 22 Super Chats, which we need to answer. So
let's go.
Let us start. All right, Muku, if you could help us with this, it would be great. Or I'll just start. All right, we've got Sameet Khan, who watches a lot of my shows. I have a lot of sympathies for him because this is a big time South African fan. He says, I could have chosen India ahead of South Africa. Dad took me to the Eden Gardens in 96 and then 99 and Klusener happened. You gave us AB de Villiers and Dale Steyn, proof of beauty existing, and but briefly. Supporting South Africa teaches the only universal truth. Life disappoints. Hope anyway, then we die. Man, that is dark and I really feel for you, Sameet. I'm glad that you at least got to see Temba lifting the mace, but when it comes to white ball cricket, no one remembers that Champions Trophy, buddy. I think you don't even remember that Champions Trophy because it wasn't even called the Champions Trophy back in the day. And yeah, it's just been torture nonstop for South African fans, and they had a pretty good team this time. They were the most informed team. I thought that they were the second best team on paper after India, and they lost this game as if they were one of the worst teams in the competition. So it must be really, really heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's a cheery thing to send in. A lot of this is Alan Donald's fault. And he shouldn't have dropped the bat. They shouldn't have run that ball. Klusener was seeing it fine. Honestly, a lot of it comes down to that moment right there because it's been ingrained in all of our cricket psyches so much. It's shown so much on telly since. Hmm. And it's very difficult to forget. And until they win one of these things, you know, a proper one, we're not going to forget that it does seem to happen all the time. But all the teams are nonsense. So if, you know, you India have chucked quite poor performances in big games in these tournaments over the last few years. You know, the Australia World Cup one where they were just blocking for half the innings in the 50 over game and then got Travis headed. That was very disappointing from an India point of view. I don't need to tell anybody that's ever watched me talk before how disappointing England can be on occasion. Mm. Like it's being a fan of a sports team is not an easy thing to be. But South Africa, you've had some great times recently. They won the World Test Championship from nowhere. Yeah. You know, considering the team they fielded on day one, it was almost like one of those FA Cups when the big team just fields their third 11 and hopes they get through, sort of thing. And all of a sudden, they found themselves playing proper teams and beating them and then ended up winning the whole thing. So
Sorry to interject, but there are two ways to look at this. I know that Sameet will probably be looking at it from an angle that we've only lifted the mace in the World Test Championship final, but we keep kind of bottling it in the knockouts of white ball tournaments. But if you think about it, 2023 ODI World Cup semi, then they played the 2024 T20 World Cup final. The women's team has made, what, two T20 World Cup finals, one ODI World Cup final. they've gotten to the last four or last two consistently in these last 3-4 years, yet they haven't bagged one of those trophies, and that must hurt. But the other way to look at this is that they are sure shot going to be there amongst the last four. Maybe that can kind of, you know, bring your hopes up.
Yeah, it's the worrying thing, you know, to play the other side of that card. The worrying thing could be that the guys they've had that have been absolutely class for quite a long time, Rabada, Markram, I mean, De Cox must be finished now, Miller, you know, these guys are much nearer the end than the start. Rabada's not old. He, you know, he's been around a long time, but he's not quite the guy he was. They keep over bowling him. Just looking at, he's only 30, so he can come again. Cahiso is a great, great player. But they don't want to not win one while they've got all these good ones, because then they're going to have to start again, aren't they? And find new people coming through. Like Brevis has got a lot on his shoulders. He's still only a kid, Brevis, but he didn't quite turn up in this World Cup. You know, he had less opportunities than usual because of how good Markram was and how good Rickleton has been before him. That's a big, big plus for South Africa.
Yeah. But
he's in.
Deval Brevis had his cameos, but the thing over here is that, or the downside for Sameet, I suppose, who's a big-time Proteas fan, is that they had a golden generation not too long ago when they had literally, you know, one of the best lineups ever assembled, even in white ball cricket, not just test cricket. And that team couldn't win anything. Now, for the last 2-3 years, they've been making the final four or final two and they still haven't, like, won silverware in white ball cricket. So that could be a bit of a concern. But the good part is that there's a lot of talent coming through from South Africa. The SA20 is doing really well. They seem to be on the right track. It's a country with a very rich sporting culture as well. Like, you can dream to play professional sport if you're South African. So there are some really solid points over there. But they've got to get over the line one of these days, right? Because this hoodoo will remain till then. And then you'll have the casual saying that they choked. When they didn't choke in this game, they just got outplayed.
Yeah, they got stuffed. They didn't turn up, though. I think that would be my, you know, they choked against India when they needed 30 off 30 with two set monsters and wickets in hand and only one Bumrah over left. That's a choke. There's no two ways about it.
That was 100%.
It's textbook choke. So if anyone says they didn't choke that day, then, you know, dictionary or learn what words mean, because that was a choke. Today, they got murdered by a team that played much better than them today.
Yeah.
A lot of it was their own doing, but they also got utterly Finn Allen, and it was barbaric what he was up to. But to be that barbaric, and, you know, the surgical precision of finding the gaps and knowing before the ball was bowled where he was going to hit it, you know, that must be such a good feat. I have to ask Robbie about that one. There must be days where you're like, well, I know this. If he bowls this ball, which I am expecting him, the Ngidi one I'm thinking of, if he bowls this ball that I think he's going to bowl, he's going here. And it was going exactly where there was no miss hits in that 100. It wasn't like, oh, look, that one's landed safe. You think there were
some thick outside edges for four down to third, but when it was he did dissect the ball between first slip and short third intentionally. That was his first boundary, if you remember, right? Yeah. That wasn't an edge. He played that shot, so it was a masterclass by Finn Allen. He's also kind of got the look these days, which looks like he's like a butcher or something with the beard and everything. And he's just like someone who not only plays in a very visceral, feral manner, but he has the look that matches that sort of style of play. I think that he's only starting. Finn Allen has been trying to do this for quite a while, but he's finally cracked it. And he's going to be spectacular in the IPL. That's at least my prediction. Anyway,
he's 26, Bayram. He's only 26. Mm-hmm. He's been around a long time. We all know he can hit, but he's getting consistency. He's getting ability against all bowling types. And now how good must he be feeling that, you know, he's been turning it on for quite a long time now, consistently, Finn Allen.
Yeah.
And who's going to want to bowl at him in the final?
True. I mean, he definitely is that X-factor player. And they've got two or three of them now. There's Glenn Phillips as well. Seifert can do that business. Anyway, Blue Eagles with the next Super Chat. He says, how does Rob feel? The result has ensured that McCullum Key regime will be in his life for a few more years after England inevitably win the World Cup. Well, he wouldn't mind that if they win the World Cup, I'll tell you that.
It'd be really funny. England are 18% to win this World Cup, which sounds crazy because there's only three teams left. But that's what the numbers are. I would be really surprised, but I've been really surprised by lots of things in this World Cup. You know, I wasn't overly surprised at New Zealand won the game today, but I was definitely surprised by the manner in which they won. The thing that pisses me off, Blue Eagles, is the McCullum Key regime has kind of banked anyway now. Like, as soon as they, you know, if they'd have done an Australia and bowed out of this by getting walloped by, you know, I think they should have lost to Nepal, shouldn't they?
Yep.
If they'd have gone out like that, like Australia did, there's kind of no way back for the lads culture. You know, you can have as many golf swings as you want. You're not getting out of the drubbed in the ashes when you pissed a couple of tests away and then turning up to this and getting knocked out. But Will Jacks has dragged England through this competition almost single-handedly. Like he's been that good. Who'd have thought that sentence was possible to say, you know, 6 weeks ago? England can win the World Cup. They're going to have to beat India in India tomorrow, which as we know, is not an easy thing to do. And then they're going to have to find a way to get Finn Allen out early. But they do have Jofra Archer. It's possible. And get into New Zealand. But make no mistake, if they do beat India, England are favourites to win the World Cup. And that's nuts.
If we get there,
24 hours time, we'll be talking about that one.
England did defeat New Zealand in the Super 8s, but I feel like we're getting ahead of ourselves. I have India as pretty strong favourites for tomorrow's game, red-hot favourites, if you will. But T20 cricket is volatile. Anything can happen. Vimal S. Menon says, India's World Cup to take now unless they bottle it. I actually feel like South Africa getting knocked out in the semis, it further elevates India's chances of defending their title this time at home and winning back-to-back T20 World Cups. But then again, man, sport is funny, right? You know, we can't say anything for certain. It is set up really well for them, though.
Yeah, they have to beat two proper teams, though. Two big teams to win the world and with no room for error. And India haven't looked like, you know, they got stuffed by South Africa well and truly, didn't they? They have to look like, they have to beat two proper teams. England, you never know what's going to turn up. And New Zealand, you do. And I don't think India have been that convincing. They're not overwhelming certainties to win this World Cup. I mean, the market doesn't have them. You know, they're 40-something percent to win this World Cup is what they are. You know, 46 is what the odds say right now. And that feels about right. Whereas if New Zealand had been belting everyone and Skye was in great form and Abhishek was in great form and Tilak was doing it consistently in his batting position, whatever, they'd be much more likely than that. You know, they'd be the other side of 50%. So, as I said, right at the start of this tournament, everyone's got holes. We didn't know the holes were there with India, but they are, you know, they are there to be picked at. I think it's been a really, really good World Cup. It's been fun. There's been a lot of good games. There's been a lot of really good performances from people we weren't necessarily expecting to get them from. Like, look at the list of the top run scorers and the top wicket takers in this. I don't know if we've got time. I can have a look at it. But the names there, you know, you're not saying Farhan, are you? Nobody's saying Farhan is going to be getting the most runs in this. No one's saying Bennett's number two. No one is doing that. No one's predicting those two. And then top wicket takers, we've got Van Schalkwyk is still number one. Blessing Mudravani, number two. Blessing's number two. And Lungi's still hanging on to third. You know, Varun will go past him, Chakravarthy, in this tournament. Ravindra has 11 wickets in this World Cup.
He's taken 9 in the last 3 games. Anyway, Rob, we will have to go a bit faster because there are lots of super chats and I do want to go home eventually. So Arnav Jindal is up next. He says, South Africa's weakness, Jansen at 7, worked and all the strengths failed. New Zealand's X-Factor player has finally worked. It had the vibes of India versus England World Cup 2022 semi-final. So New Zealand had one or two ways to win and they took both ways. Yeah, I mean, it was a complete annihilation of South Africa by New Zealand. They bowled well enough to make South Africa crumble despite dropping catches. And the way they batted, they would have chased down 220 as well from the looks of it. Although it is a different game when you're chasing 220, but you get the drift. So, yeah. Lagavulin speaks, says playing 80% of games at same venue backfired for South Africa. The C word for South Africa this time around is complacency. They don't have the mental fortitude. I don't know if it was complacency today or they just weren't up for it from the start. Like, they were a bit cautious. They do bat slowly in knockouts. We have seen this trend. We can't quite explain it because their team wasn't set up for them to bat slowly. They should have batted at a good clip, but they didn't do that. And yeah, you could perhaps say that because they played so many games in Ahmedabad, they were used to those conditions that this Kolkata pitch kind of turned on them. But what was wrong with the pitch? No demons, guys. No demons.
No, I thought there was a bit on a length early where it was bouncing slightly more than they thought it was. If you want to try and make a case for a difficult pitch, but watch Finn Allen's innings again. And even Seifert's, that wasn't a tough pitch to score runs on at all.
Exactly. Prakar Gupta says, this makes me think that South Africa only got to the finals last time because they faced Afghanistan in the semis on a shit pitch. No, man, they had Heinrich Klassen in that team and it was a really, really good T20 unit. And they were also unbeaten on their way to the finals. So there were two unbeaten teams in India and South Africa which faced off. They were the two best teams in the competition and that was entirely fair. South Africa, for me, are still the second best team in this competition, even though they're out. But that's T20 cricket for you, man. It was not just a shit day. They literally were terrible. There is no other explanation. Okay. Got Rohit Kumar Jha who says, Tim and Alan play for KKR like this very strongly. Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that earlier that both of these players have been signed up by the Kolkata Knight Riders and these knocks came at the Eden Gardens. It augurs really well for Shah Rukh Khan and the entire team.
It does, because if the auction was tomorrow, they pay very different prices for them if they wanted to get both. They probably wouldn't be able to get both considering they spend so much on Cameron Green. It's funny how cricket works, isn't it? You know, when you go, oh, look how lucky we are. Look how well we recruited. We got Finn Allen. He's an absolute gun. I mean, the numbers were there for Finn Allen. You know, they could have been more bidding for him, whereas everybody wanted Cameron Green for all the money. Isn't it crazy? You know, which one would you rather have playing in your team tomorrow? Do you want Cameron Green or do you want Finn Allen?
I'd have half of Finn Allen ahead of Cameron Green currently, but Cam Green does have the profile, which, you know, it does warrant a lot of money, but then again, his form has been shit. But then, you know, people say that these auctions and drafts and et cetera, especially auctions, not drafts, because in drafts, you have a set amount of money for which the player goes, but in auctions, you get bidding. It decides or finally you come up with a true market value for the player. I think you come up with a true market value for a role as opposed to a player. That's basically fair. How it works.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got Arnav Jindal once again, who says, forget cricket, I want to know how Rob Barron went from being a hockey goalie to a cricket betting genius. I want to hear the story too, Rob.
Well, it's quite a long story. So I played a lot age group stuff, trained with England and Great Britain and all that sort of thing all the time when I was a kid. And when I got to about, I went to Loughborough University where all the England cricket team trained. And when I went to Loughborough, they said, you're not to carry on playing football, which I also played all the time. You're not going to play football because you're going to injure yourself playing football. You must stop and concentrate on your hockey and take it seriously and all that sort of stuff. I was like, yeah, fine, no problem. But then my team had a cup final. I was like, well, obviously I'm playing in the cup final, football. And I did my medial ligament in and couldn't play hockey for a year. And then I discovered that you could, when you're not allowed to play sport, you can just watch sport all the time. And I love cricket. The 1999 World Cup got me addicted to cricket, I think, because it was on free-to-air TV in this country. I was meant to be doing my exams at the time, you know, revising for whatever exams I was doing then, GCSEs or whatever.
And oh, you know how to read? Wrong.
Yeah, man. It's like looking at books, looking at books or watching Lance Clues and smacking it everywhere. And I was like, okay, I'll do that one. And then it's like, well, I'm no good at cricket because I spent all my time playing other sports, never played cricket. And I had a couple of mates that were able to make careers out of playing cricket. I was like, well, I can't do that. I'm going to have to find a way to make money out of sport somehow because I can't do a normal job for obvious reasons. And so, yeah, cricket betting, please. And if you watch enough of it, you can, you know, it's not very difficult to spot the angles quicker than the bookies do, who are by and large pretty stupid people.
All right, then. Next Super Chat, please. I've got an update from Muku that Jared won't be able to make it. So apologies on Jared's behalf, everyone.
Part-time Kimba.
He's probably busy writing some piece and recording some video. Anyway, Tejas Kaushik asks, there's so much talk about form of teams. But what is form, really? I feel no team has maintained their performance from bilaterals. I think T20 is, it's just the format, really. Your form could go in a blink. Right? Like, it's not that sort of format where you're building towards something. One bad day can cost you big time. And South Africa are a far better team than what you saw today. They actually annihilated New Zealand in the group stages, if you remember, right? But over here, it was a role reversal and the defeat was a lot worse than the victory versus New Zealand, I suppose. But yeah, we've seen this plenty of times, guys. If you remember the 2009 T20 World Cup, South Africa were going great and Pakistan stopped them in the semi. So not the first time we've seen this and not the last time either.
Yeah. I mean, what is form is a very long and open question to answer. But I think it is everything, you know, going on about betting, form is everything when it comes to, you know, I want to back this guy because he's in really good form. And if you notice things like form and you pay attention to it, you watch enough cricket, you can go, well, why are they still giving Butler 24 and a half runs? Or why today, why are they giving Quentin de Kock 24 and a half runs as his median number, right? Why is that? Why are they doing that? Because he's sure, you know, run his career, run his last 12 months, run his last 18 months or whatever, but run his last 10, 15 games, this guy is not getting 25 very often. You know, whereas Tillack, who isn't, he is in form now, but a week ago you'd have said Tillack wasn't really, but he still gets his 25. He just does it in a way that doesn't really help his team. Same sort of thing with Sky, right? So you can pick form apart and try and work it out. But that'd be one for Robbie, really, because we don't know, do we? What it's like to actually feel like it. You know, he might say form's horseshit. He might say, well, I mean, you just turn up, you get one out in the middle, all of a sudden you're back in form again.
One thing that I will say for sure after watching a lot of cricket for over two decades now is that sometimes you're not out of form, you're out of runs. You're hitting the ball perfectly well, but you just seem to get out. So it is difficult to quantify form, but if you're on a run, if the trends are upwards, then it's more likely that you will perform. But that doesn't mean that you will perform for sure, because your form could run out very, very quickly. Anyway, let's move on to the next Super Chat. Muku, who do we have? I think Muku has left us. No, Prithvi is the next Super Chat, who says, who would be a better matchup for New Zealand? I reckon New Zealand can roll India over. They will use Kyle to get Abhishek and Ishan. Glenn Phillips and Mitchell can play spin. I feel like Indian fans are just very, very pessimistic because they know they're the best team and they don't want to lose this, but they are best set up to win this T20 World Cup. New Zealand aren't set up well to beat India. They should get hammered versus India, but then again, given day, anything can happen, and T20s are just, it's a wild beast, T20 cricket.
Yeah. Who would be a better matchup? No question, England would be. But going back to form, you want India's main players to be out of form when that game happens. And if Finn Allen's like he did today, they can beat them, you know, no question about that. But you look across the 11 from India and you're like, well, all of these are really, really good. And then you look across the 11 from New Zealand and you go, well, even though he basically only played in the game for one over today, Cole McConkie had a huge impact. He shouldn't have done. Yeah. I very much doubt if he bowls the power play over against India that Abhishek and Stanju or whoever it is let him get away with it.
Yeah.
But South Africa folded. You know, you look at players like Mark Chapman, not really done anything in this World Cup. Jimmy Neesham looks like a liability with bat and ball nowadays. Santner needs the pitch, I would say, to get wickets at the moment. Mitchell, he's done bits and bobs. Not really been needed that much. There's quite a lot of players. You know, Matt Henry, the opening bowler, is very, very good. But Matt Henry, the death bowler, isn't. And Lockie is one stretch on the boundary away from injuring himself at all times. You know, which Lockie have you got? It's easy, but it's 2020 cricket, right? And you play one game. You don't play 10 games. And whoever wins, you know, 11 games and whoever wins six has won the series. It's one. And if you don't show up, if you drop your catches, which is gonna be a pivotal point in one of these next two games, if you drop your catches or if you turn up like South Africa and go, well, we're going to defer risk till later. Oh, shit, we got out. Oh, shit, we got out again. You're going to lose. Like, T20 is unforgiving. And if you don't capitalize when the game's in your favor or you don't pick your battles properly, you get beat. And it's really fun. You know, it's really good to watch, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, let's move on, Muku. Let's go through these quickly. Prith Rai says, Hope scored 32 of 33 on the same pitch. Finn Allen has scored an unbeaten 100 of 33. Yikes is correct. That's more than three times the score. Anyway, Dhruv Demo says, Did toss and dew play a role? How much is India threatened if they lose the toss? Go hell for leather and then get out cheaply. So I don't think the toss will play as big a role at the Wankhede. I haven't really seen any dew over there. The toss was supposed to play a role today. It was a good toss to win for New Zealand, but they killed off that chase before there was any dew. So it ultimately didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter. We knew at the toss that you wanted to chase. I think that's fair today. That's what you should have done because of the potential of dew. But like you say, Baron, they got 84 for none off the power play, didn't they? So that's the end of the game. It doesn't matter from that point, does it?
Nope. Okay. That settles it. We've got Sukhi Khan Duja next, who says, Wankhede gives England a better chance. Thoughts? Yes, they would rather play at the Wankhede than other stadia. But like I said yesterday, Jasprit Bumrah plays his home cricket in the IPL at the Wankhede. Surya Kumar Yadav plays his home cricket at the Wankhede in the IPL. So India are playing at home. That entire crowd will be packed with Indian fans. England aren't as good a team or even close to being as good a team as India on paper. Sure, Maybe they'd rather play at the Wankhede other than as opposed to other stadiums, but still, I feel like it's a mismatch, a bit of a mismatch. But England are volatile. You don't know which sort of England will turn up. They can beat India, but will they?
Yeah, probably not. I think the good thing for it being here, they're playing on the same deck as the one where England got smoked by the West Indies, which isn't great. But remember how good Adil Rashid was that day? Like his 2 for 16, wasn't it? He was awesome. And if the pitch plays the same, which, you know, it could easily not, they haven't played there for basically a month now, he might be a threat because Adil Rashid's record in India is a question mark against his career, you would say. But if he rocks up, if him and Archer rock up tomorrow, I very much doubt Rehan will play. They'll go over to him, won't they? They seem to think that's the formula. If he rocks up tomorrow and does his thing, if he plays as well as he does on the exact same deck, if you're a bowler, surely, you know, particularly spin bowler, and you played really, really well, you know, not very long ago on a surface, and you go back there, you must be thinking, oh, I like this one. You know, he must be feeling good about tomorrow, Adil Rashid. At least I hope he is. Yeah, it does help England, but it also helps India, doesn't it? Like most things do in cricket, it does help India. They all play there a lot.
I once made a pair in a club game, which is almost impossible to do. But I've been obsessed with batting my entire life. And so I put that into my new book, The Art of Batting. Being that I'm not very good at that skill, I decided to talk to other people who were. So I hit up as many contacts as I could just to talk about batting. Rahul Dravid, Brian Lara, AB de Villiers, Kumar Sangakkara, Ross Taylor, Susie Bates, Nasser Hussain, Ian Chappell, and so many, many, many more. I wanted batters to talk about how they and their friends made runs, because that is the art of batting.
Yeah, all right. Let's go to the next super chat. Does Nisham stay in the 11? Asks Raghav Thalwar. I would bring Duffy in for Nisham. I was surprised to see him in the lineup today. I didn't think New Zealand should have gone 9-2. 8-3 was fine. Have a fourth specialist bowler, because your fifth bowler is already an issue. And McConkie, if anything, he's earned his stripes now, hasn't he, Rob Barron?
How can you not keep McConkie in?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have picked Nisham today. And I think looking at how he bowled, I think that's fair. And looking at how he's performed for quite a while, you know, it's not his fault. You know, if England picked me, I'd play. But he shouldn't be in the starting 11 of a team in a World Cup final now in 2026. You know, he's not quite up to it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on, Muku. We've got Srinath SV, who says, why do people not talk about New Zealand's World Cup trophy drought as much as South Africa's trophy drought? Because New Zealand haven't always had those world-class teams which should be lifting trophies. South Africa have had a few of them. New Zealand's best chance at World Cup glory was what, 92 when Pakistan knocked them out, then 2015 when they lost the final to Mitchell Starc for all intents and purposes. What else do we got? Because every other time that they made, oh, 2019, of course 2019. Spiritually, they have won that World Cup final. Although Barron will disagree.
No, they didn't. So the reason why it is, and it's pretty simple actually, is New Zealand have never lost a game where they were favourites. At the business end of these competitions, they've never done that. They don't lose games when they're favourites. If they're favourites, they win. And if they're not, they don't. Look at this old lazy bones.
Oh my God.
Rocking up an hour in.
Hey guys, how you been?
Latecomer.
What's going on? Anything happened today?
Great, thanks.
Nothing. We're kind of over the bloodbath now. We're just going through super chats, and what a time for you to join. What'd you write on?
I wrote about Colin McConkie's first over. Because Colin, I couldn't call it. I refuse to believe that Cole McConkie is a real name. So in my brain, I've called him Colin. I've now watched the innings four times. It is ridiculous, like on every level.
Yeah.
But I could say this. I won't say who it is, but I sent a video of one of his shots to a test captain, former test captain. Is he a former test captain? I'm not sure. I have to check. He's captained recently anyway, and I sent him one of the shots. And it's the one, Rob, you might know this shot, where he plays the one off Keshav Maharaj where he hits the six wide of long on.
Yeah, frightening.
He's on one foot when he hits that, right? He gets his balance wrong. He gets the ball wrong. He gets in the wrong shape. And then he doesn't follow through, guys, right? And he still hits it for six. None of this makes any sense, right?
He's a Tarantino villain at the moment. Like, he's a scary man.
Oh,
yeah.
Finn Allen. The good Finn Allen is terrifying.
Yeah.
Jared, what do you make of South Africa stumbling to New Zealand's non-existent fourth and fifth bowlers?
You look at the first part of that game, it is like I had a whole piece prepared called the Cole McConkie Vortex, right? Where somehow we ended up in a position where New Zealand being shit at bowling, right? And South Africa having a risky number seven, none of it mattered, right? Because suddenly all of New Zealand's best bowlers were their shit ones, and the number seven was the only guy who could make runs. And I think I put a tweet up going, the only way this game could be crazier is if, like, Ratchan Ravindra hits the winning runs. I was, like, a position off, right? I was a position off the guy. So, I mean, it really was a very, very bizarre game. I think, I don't know if you guys would have missed it, but Aidan Markram said, oh, you know, the pitch changed a little bit. I'm like, yeah, look, it probably did. It was a little bit tougher in the first innings. It didn't change enough for Cole McConkie to take two wickets in an over, though, did it? Like, yeah. It didn't change enough for Ratchan Ravindra to get David Miller out twice. Like, David Miller looked desperate to get out to Ratchan Ravindra.
True. And in the end, he plays a no-look shot down the ground, which is a Brevis thing, and goes out to Ratchan Ravindra.
Okay, and I need to ask you both this. Catches. Can you play the no-look shot if you go out off it? I just don't think you can. I think you have to pretend you weren't playing it if that's the case. You can only hit sixes off the no-look shot.
Yeah, you have to look. If it's going down long on throw, you've got to suddenly look at it. Otherwise, you're looking incredibly silly.
Yeah.
It's not a game that's easy to make sense of, but we've just had an hour talking about how we did make perfect sense of it, and it's all lined up for us. But South Africa didn't turn up, did they? That's that.
I think, I mean, again, let's get back to what I was talking about with you a little bit, Bayram, yesterday. I do think they played, I mean, they lost wickets, but I do think they were playing maybe slightly within themselves at times as well.
Yeah.
And I think
I think
that's what Markram said. And in the end, they probably didn't need to, because the guy who didn't, well, actually, I shouldn't say that. He was about 20 off 20, wasn't he, before he went ballistic, Jansen. But the guys that they were worried about, actually, well, the one guy anyway, carried them 100%. But Markram was saying that they should have probably pushed on to 180, 190, right? And so, again, and we've done this history a lot, and Rob knows it as well, is quite often in these games, South Africa do bat a little bit slower. They do, hold themselves back. And in this case, it's almost the worst of both worlds, right? Because they lost wickets and held themselves back, and they lost wickets to the people. Like, if you get bowled out by Matt Henry, I just think you have to go, fair fucks. There's nothing we can do here. Matt Henry is incredible, and that's fine. Lachie Ferguson got us with two or three quick ones. Okay. But my God, if you're going out to half trackers from a part-time off-spinner, I just don't know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, well, at least Marco Jansen proved you wrong, Jared. You weren't comfortable with him at number seven. Well, he was unbeaten on 55
or 30. I also said that Finn Allen was the big difference maker, Bayram.
Yeah,
so what does that mean? So it means nothing.
That wasn't the question.
Well,
wait a minute. I've been going on about Finn Allen in multiple videos. No one picks it up, right? And now they're all going to go, you were wrong about Marco Jansen. Where are the same people saying I was right about fucking Finn Allen? I was one of the few people talking him up in this tournament. And what did I say specifically? That if he had one big innings, he could win a major game, if not the tournament, for New Zealand. So if you want to take my losses, you have to bring up my W's. I'm 50-50 on this game.
You want me out my word?
You're actually ahead, Jared, because Corbin Bosch has a shit game. So yeah. You are ahead.
Poor Corbin. I mean, I think with Corbin, that sixth over is fucking wild, by the way. Like, I could write an essay on that sixth over, because I think it says everything about Finn Allen and the way he went about it. But also, South Africa just weren't thinking that that could get themselves into that kind of situation. I think you have to go a frontline bowler for that over, don't you, Rob? You can't. And he's a really good fifth bowler. Like, we know that. I just don't think you can give that to Corbin Bosch and be
so,
like...
So we picked that apart and we went, I get why everyone bowled in that order.
Yeah.
And I won't go through it again because I spoke about it. I get it. But not that over. Not Corbin Bosch over number six when you're 62 for none after five. You probably got to go Maharaj there and try and change things. And you know, if the two batsmen are absolutely smoking all your pace, you don't then go to your worst pacer. You go to the spin and try and get the
win. I think if you go back in the chat, in the group chat, I was saying, I think when Ngidi bowled, I would have bowled Maharaj then, right? I think I get why they bowled Ngidi, and I don't think that was a mistake. It would have been out of those two. But once Ngidi doesn't work, right, it has to be Maharaj. And that was the other thing we talked about yesterday, Bayram, was they don't have the great wicket-taking spinner, right? And so I think if you have... You know, even England bowl Adil Rashid in that situation, right? So you can go through all the other teams. Santner probably bowls in that situation. You know, all the other teams go to their spinner. And I think them kind of pushing it back a little bit was, again, you know, it was a small mistake. Maybe the game was already gone by then, because that Seifert's start was incredible as well, right? It, you know, we'll all be talking about Finn Allen, but Seifert's start was incredible. But I do think that that was one of the weaknesses we were talking about, is just that inability to have that great spinner who can just come in and just, you know, change things for you. And Maharaj can be that, but they didn't even want to use him in that way.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got a lot of super chats to go through, so I'm going to go for a speed round over here. Yeah, dude, we've been going on for a long time. We've got Steve Watts, who says, question for Rob. He often takes England team's case and rips them apart. Luke Wright is leaving the selector's role. Given a choice, would Rob step up for the challenge if the role is offered? Would you, Rob?
Yes.
Hey,
absolutely.
Have you ever replied for a job in cricket, Rob, just for fun?
They'd absolutely love me in the England camp, I reckon.
I applied for the New Zealand head coaching job once, just for fun. I think it was when Mike Hessen got it, by the way. Right. That's a sliding doors moment for New Zealand cricket, if there ever was one.
Did you get an interview, Jared?
I did not get an interview, no.
Oh, come on.
If you were to get an interview, Jared, would you go in with a PowerPoint presentation, or would you just go in like Baz McCall?
I would have gone in with a freestyle rap.
All right. Okay, let's move on. We've got Vimal S. Menon, who says, winner covers Pakistan's player fine. Hope it's India. Yeah, someone's got to cover Pakistan's player fine.
I thought it was Bayram.
I actually
These
did the match.
Chats might be.
$18,000 per squad member. Yeah, per squad member, they're fining everyone $18,000, which comes out to $270,000 for the squad. That's a lot of money that the PCB intend to make over there.
Can we start fining the PCB officials for all their mistakes? Because I've got a list.
Can we fine Aqib Javed for his existence, just for being around the PCB? Anyway, we've got Prakar Gupta, who says, this makes me think that South Africa only got to the finals. Oh, we've done this one. Sorry, my bad. Then we've got this as well, which we've done. Oh, maybe Muku was right. Maybe we don't have enough left. This was also done. Muku, you need to stop finishing these.
This is some of the best podcasting you'll ever come across.
Yeah, there's one. Shreya says, generational aura loss for Shukri. Well, Shukri did say that South Africa didn't lose all those games when he wasn't around. And Shukri Conrad, in a very short period of time, has said a few things that might come back to haunt him. This is probably not as high on the scale as the G word.
He's the Harry Brook of coaches, isn't he, Shukri? He really does just sort of say things and you're like, wait, what? I've got a question for both of you. Okay, so we all know about, we're not going to go through every generational loss that South Africa's gone through, but I've done the list before, many times before.
Yes, this we've done a footmarks on it.
This feels like a fresh level of hell. This particular, because it's not like they were the favourites. Yeah, they had. I thought they had an ordinary game against Zimbabwe. I did flag that up beforehand. I thought their form was not quite where it had been earlier in the tournament. Rabada had never played well. You know, there was a couple of question marks. But I think you put in at one stage, this was full embarrassment, Rob, in the group chat. Yeah. And then that went up to full embarrassment. And then by the end, I don't know what level of embarrassment they were up to. It's not as if they had a chance almost at any stage in this game. And yet it almost feels like one of the worst moments for them.
Yeah, we have picked it apart. But if you pick it apart and you go through, well, what did this guy do? Like, can anyone go to bed tonight? Because Marco did it with the bat, but then he undid it and more with the ball, which is nearly impossible. He's the only one that did anything to South Africa. All of them were shit. All of them.
Who's their second best cricketer today? Stubbs?
Devon Brevis, maybe?
Oh, Brevis, yeah.
But he wasn't very good, Brevis. Like we were saying, he faced 27 balls and he got 34 runs with one lucky six, whereas Finn Allen faced 33 balls and he scored 100. It's a crazy game of cricket. South Africa did not perform collectively and individually they were all shit. And when that happened, like all the bowlers were shit and all the batsmen were shit and they got battered by a team that on paper isn't as good as them. They didn't just get, it's a bit like the Brazil-Germany World Cup semi-final. Brazil are at home, their favourites.
That 5-1
and Brazil, what did they win? What did Germany
7-1.
Win?
7-1,
was it? 7-0, 7-1? It was a bit like that. It's getting battered by a team when you're the favourites is not a good looking World Cup semi-final.
You and I, all three of us, do so much analysis. It's actually very rare to watch a team when no one is in form in one game. Do you know what I mean? Because even if we take Marco Janssen, he's at a par in this game in the end. As you said, he gave it all back with the ball.
No, he's not on par. He's on negative because he scores unbeaten 55 of 30 and concedes 53 of 17 deliveries.
Okay, so he's a negative.
He's in the minus.
So he's the best player that they had in this game. How is that even possible? How is it possible to have that bad form across every one of your players, right? Like, I mean, I mean, you can't, in a normal game, you'd be like, oh my God, De Kock and Rickleton, what were they thinking? And it's like, that's not even, it's not even at the top, it's like the 34th most important thing in this game. The fielding as well.
Oof.
Yeah.
New Zealand was shit in the field.
New Zealand fielded shit too.
Ben Phillips dropped a really easy catch because he couldn't resist having both feet off the floor when he caught it. He couldn't resist it. It was like, it was in his head. He was going, I've obviously caught this, and now what do I do? Run really, really fast, then jump, then put both knees together. Like, how am I going to catch it and make it look good? Like,
I mean,
if the best catcher can't catch, it showed what a daft game it was anyway. But yeah, if you go through, we're not even speaking about how bad David Miller's innings was. 6 for 2 off 6. Like, to rubbish balls from rubbish bowlers.
Exactly why Jared needs to jump on the live when we start, because now we're just repeating shit. My battery will die any moment, so I'm about to drop off anyway. There's one super chat for me where Shiva Subramaniam asks, Behrama's barber dropped arrested from the ODI squad. Go ask the PCB, because I don't know what the hell's up with them.
I don't know.
They've lost their shit. Yeah, anyway, have a good one answering the rest of the super chat, guys. I'm off.
Okay, mate.
See you.
Can someone bring the super chats up for me? Because my whole system is in such carnage at the moment. So, Muku, if you're there. Muku, can you hear us? Prudvi says, is it possible to improve at taking catches in a couple of days? Asking for an Indian cricket team. P.S. Maybe Rob Barron should be a fielding coach.
Yes, he should. How funny would that be?
It is.
Well, firstly, I look like an athlete, natural athlete, so I can say, listen, lads, this is the sort of physique you can aspire to.
But it is one of those things. I was thinking about this today. South Africa's fielding hasn't been great in this tournament, right? And New Zealand's had. I think that was fair coming in. That's what people were saying. Am I remembering that?
New Zealand has been acceptable, and I don't think any of the other proper teams have, is where I
would. And then you see them field today. You do realize just like you can have bad form in fielding. And I don't think we ever accept that. And maybe me and Rob are the two of the worst proponents of this sometimes, because we are like, you've got hands, use your hands. Why, you know? But there is an element of you can have good and bad form in fielding. But I think South Africa's tournament, all looking back on it, they were pretty patchy at times in the field all the way through, considering there's a lot of good athletes in that team.
Yeah, it's a joke how bad they are, considering how good they are. The thing is, when you watch somebody play an on drive or whatever of a good ball, you're like, well, how do you even do that? How do you get to a level of sporting, you know, proficiency to be able to do that, or to bowl both ways, spin it both ways, or to do this stuff that we can't do as human beings? You're like, how the hell did this happen, right? But then you watch somebody drop a catch that's really easy. You're like, well, how the hell do you do? If you can do that, how the hell can you drop a catch?
Yeah.
And if you're Usman Tariq and one of your hands is bigger than the other and you're really not an athlete, I get why you can't catch. Yeah. Some people are rubbish at catching because they're not athletes. But when you see guys like, you know, Brevis, who looks like an athlete, or Stubbs or whatever, just drop a dolly. Like, what the hell? And to answer this question here, is it possible to improve at taking catches in a couple of days? Yes, very much so it is. Practice loads, right? There was one where Glenn Maxwell, who's one of the best catchers, he has dropped dollies in his time, one of the best all-round fielders I've ever watched, I think, over his career, Glenn Maxwell. He did one in the Big Bash where I think it was Big Bash, or might have been a T20 for Oz, where he took one of those brilliant boundary catches where he relayed it to himself. Mm. And the ball, it was one of the better ones. It wasn't like a slow one. He had to do the jump. He had to throw it back in, jump back in, all the rest of it. And he made it look really easy. He did the catch with one hand, and in the same motion, he flicked the ball back up, came back in and caught it. And they interviewed him after the game, and they're like, what a catch. That's one of the best we've ever seen and all that. And he said, yeah, I knew I was going to catch it because I practiced that all the time. And he said, so when the ball was in the air, it's in its parabola, right? It's in the arc.
He didn't say
and
parabola.
And as it's coming down, Glenn,
he didn't say parabola.
No. When it's in its arc, right, Maxwell's head goes, I've practiced this loads of times. I know exactly what my hands, what my feet, and what my body is going to do to complete this brilliant catch. So his brain is working 100% thinking properly. What is Glenn Phillips' brain doing? Brilliant fielder as far as technical skill goes, one of the best. What's his brain doing when that ball's in the air today? Because it ain't clarity. It's like, oh, look, I know he's got ADHD, and you and I both know what it's like to be neurodiverse, Jared. But when the ball's in there, what's he thinking here? How good can I make it look? You know, is that somebody's
Isn't that all that really matters, though, Rob? Anurag said, guys, Kolkata is my hometown. I just returned from Eden Garden. I don't have enough words to describe what an astonishing knock I just watched. Alan is a beast. As I said, so the reason I was late to the live is because I was making the other video, but I did watch, because it's only 33 balls, I just kept watching it on replay. And then I did think that's really unfair on Rob and Varun and Bayram. But then I thought, fuck it, I can watch this again. It's only 33 balls. I just watched it again. Then I was like, do you know what would be great? If I watched it one more time.
Like, you, I said this earlier, usually when one team murders the other one, it's shit and it's no good. But we had an innings of, definitely of a year, but, you know, that was one, that was probably the best World Cup innings ever. Like, it was that good. It's so easy to overstate something when it's just happened and hyperbolize and recency bias. But it was 100 off 33 all round against... Previously,
Rabada, Janssen, Maharaj. I'm missing someone.
He's been killing it this World Cup, and they just treated them like pub bowlers. It was to be at that is an honour. I would say, like, proper.
Yeah, keep that one forever. I would say he treated them very similar to how he batted against Washington, or was it for Washington, at the Coliseum in Major League Cricket, which is what the next question is about. He said, I was lucky enough to watch his 151 for 51 in MLC. Did you see that innings?
No.
It's just the ball, because it's a baseball stadium. It's just the ball clanging off weird angles the whole time. Like, just like, it's like a video game where they put the stands in the wrong spot. It really, I remember seeing that, and that was when I started really diving in on him again, which is one of the reasons I talked him up for this World Cup, because I just think he's better now than he used to be. I think he's learnt a little. I was talking to an international batter while he was playing today, and I said, I think he's just learnt.
You're talking to a batter while he was playing today. That would explain that. We're talking to Rickleton.
Well, I wasn't talking to someone who was in the game, but yeah. We were chatting about the innings, and I said, I think the big difference is his ability to get... He gets singles off good balls now. Whereas if you go back to when he was facing Mitchell Starc, Mitchell Starc was swinging huge in-swingers at him, and he's still trying to hit him down the ground. It's like, we don't have to do that. Just wait for him to stop swinging it in like an over and a half's time. Like, why are you taking him on now? And his ability to get off strike early on... I thought no one's going to talk about that other than people like us, but it was actually a big part of it. And I think he's much better at doing that now. And he used to dot up a little bit more, whereas now he doesn't dot up because he's either off strike or he's hitting sixes.
Yeah, and he's only 26, so his best may be yet to come. He'll do well to do better than that, but he never had form. He was a streak guy. And from betting point of view, if you got on Alan when he was doing his good one, he did. It might have been 3 years ago where he just did 3 months of utter madness. Where he was gunning it every single game. And then he kind of did the whole, you know, when you play like that, Abhishek's finding this out, when you play like that, you go through lean trots. But if you can work out how to get consistent and do what he does, you then become, we were discussing this earlier as well, who wants Finn Allen and who wants Cameron Green? But, you know, KKR have got both and they paid a hell of a lot more for one than the other.
Steve says, Rehan Ahmed instead of Bethel. I was thinking about this as well of, you know, we were doing a preview show and I didn't quite bring it up the other day, but I was thinking to myself, if you want to fit Rehan Ahmed, surely Bethel is the guy you bring him in for rather than, and then you have him and Overton in the side.
It works because I don't think Bethel is the guy. You know, Bethel wasn't the guy at three. I didn't think he did okay in one of them. He wasn't the guy at three. And then is he worth having further down? He cut his hand, didn't he? Or he's got an injury to one of his bowling fingers. So you can't use his bowling, or if you can use his bowling, they haven't done. It's a shout. I mean, the thing is, Bethel's due more runs, but Rehan did his thing the other day. When he got his opportunity, he's still a very young man. When he got his opportunity, he smoked at a critical time for England the other day.
If you think of him as a three over a game bowler, which might be pushing it, he might only be two against India, but if he's a three over a game bowler, you wouldn't use him in this way, but you could actually bat him at number three and just tell him to go in and slog, which I think he did in Sri Lanka at times, batted up the order, right? Or you just put him in before Overton, because Overton, you know, he's going to take a little bit longer to get going. He's more of a traditional player. And you just say, just thrash around for a minute. And if you hit a couple of sixes here, we're ahead of the game. Like, you can make a case for this one.
Yeah, I don't mind Rehan as your, you know, Butler goes for five off six again, which could easily happen. Rehan comes in and gets 14 off five. That'll do, right? Yeah. England are back in it. That's when you
can use Narayan, early Sun on the right. Karen says, Santa's captaincy, 50% the reason for this victory.
No.
Not having that?
Smoke something else. smoke something different?
I think everyone starts with the off spinner. So I think we were kind of expecting that. Maybe a different off spinner. Maybe we were expecting Glenn Phillips. And then the only other thing I would say is that all the people who were not very good at bowling took wickets all the way through. I don't think that was Santner's captaincy. I think there was something else going on there. Dread Noble says, Abhishek's lack of confidence and jaunty fielding coach. I don't know what those things mean, but
riddle me that.
But you have definitely written them down in a super chat.
That's just two random phrases put together, isn't it?
Wasn't that the name of our band? Abhishek's lack of confidence and jaunty fielding coach.
I'm definitely getting that tattooed on my forehead now.
The Clasher says, is Ratchet slowly turning into Vittori for New Zealand? Look, if you use, this is one of the things I would say, if you use these guys in good matchups, in pitches that work and everything else, you can get good results. But there are days in which David Miller would have taken 30 runs off Rajan Ravindra. And today, all he seemed to want to do is hit him straight up in the air, which I'll never understand.
Yeah, I won't understand it either. But you got to remember that Ravindra was just a guy that played in the Georgie Pie Super Smash not that long ago and batted number 7.
Yeah.
And didn't have great numbers and bowled 10 balls a game on average or something. Like, he was just a bit part random man that played. And then they were like, well, someone's injured. Can you play in the World Cup? Top 3?
Yeah.
Maybe 50 over World Cup? And yeah, sure. Shall I just be the best bat in the tournament? Shall I do that? And he was like, yeah, okay. And then this tournament comes along and you're like, well, I'm not very good at batting at the moment. What shall I do? Be the best bowler in the tournament? How about that? And he's just gone, yeah, okay, fine. So he just gets loads of wickets every game. Will Jack's doing pretty much the same thing for England. Suddenly he's like 4 Liam Livingstones. And I don't understand it. And that's why I love cricket, right? Because you and I, Jared, spend 20 hours a day trying to understand cricket and we have no fucking idea what's going
on. As it's I said, amazing. I mean, look at me today. I was getting absolutely trolled about Marco Jansen. And before the trolls had finished, Finn Allen did what he did. Like, you, even when you're right, you're wrong. And even when you're wrong, you're right. I don't want to get to White Men Can't Jump about this. Jack says,
not again.
Can New Zealand realistically win the final? Look, they've still got a lot of holes in this side. But I'll say this. The opening partnership and the Matt Henry opening the bowling means that at the start of innings, they have such an advantage because they're either going to get a lot of boundaries or potentially a lot of wickets. There aren't that many teams who can do that.
No, if you're chasing something that's below par and you're 84 for none after the power play, you've won the game, you've won the cricket match. And they have the ability to do that. And, you know, they've got enough people. You keep going back to Cole McConkie, what he did today. He only took part in the 20 overs a side game for one over and he got two really important people out. And he can't really bowl very well.
That over went for 9, and didn't it?
It's a joke. Yeah, 2 for 9.
Stupidest over in cricket.
Three dots. Yeah. 2 for 9. Just ludicrous how it happens. And he got Quentin de Kock out, who had just hit a 6. And he got Ryan Rickleton out with a really, really bad pie. And that's cricket.
Yeah.
And good luck trying to make sense of it. But it's funny, you know, that it's a great sport, cricket, because it's so dumb. It's so stupid.
Kartik says, given the South African superior attack to the West Indies in same conditions, did Finn Allen expose India's fragile batting, excluding Sampson, who played his best T20. I don't think you can look at anything that happened with Finn Allen at the moment in this game and think to yourself, I know more about cricket. Like, do you know what I mean? If you're using Finn Allen to analyse what just happened there, I just don't think that's how it works.
No, I think that's a reach, Kartik. I think you're adding things up and you've made the right number, but I don't know how you got there.
Anav says, For England, what are the ways they can win against India as an exercise? And can New Zealand's X factor be repeated? Look, that's one of the big problems, isn't it? Like, not having a go at Finn Allen. But whichever team makes it through to the final, New Zealand's big issue was, can they outscore and score at the kind of rates that the other three teams could? Finn Allen kind of has to do it again because they do get clogged up in the middle a little bit, right? And they don't have the big bang at the death. As far as England, you know, Jofra can get on one. I think that's probably one of their best chances of doing it. And then they bat really deep, so they can keep going hard without worrying about wickets in the way that other teams do. So those are probably the two most likely chances of winning.
That's fair.
Junk says, proud of my Kiwis making another final. You could fit the number of first-class cricketers we have in the corner of an English pub. Depends on the English pub. There's some really small ones. Let's see if England can get through for yet another New Zealand-England classic. I mean, if you're a New Zealand fan, you must just be sitting back, looking at South Africa and going, yeah, we don't win that much, but geez, we've managed to embarrass you on enough occasions that it's almost worth a cup.
I want the England-New Zealand multiple Super Over final, and it's like, we're going to have to settle this in a different way, lads, because you keep tying the Super Over. I mean, there's a lot of fun to be had if England play New Zealand.
And then MS Dhoni and Robbie Utapa come out and go, bowl off. We just have a bowl off.
Yeah, so somebody's kneeling down and somebody's standing 30 yards back and someone's trying to swing it into the stumps and someone's bowling at the stumps. Yeah, that's potentially the most fun final. There's not that much in that one, is there?
Abhinav says, was the Markram catch by Mitchell legit? So I originally thought he didn't take it, then I thought he took it, then I thought he didn't take it, then I thought he took it. It's one of those ones that it kind of depends if you're the umpire which angle you take. I think there was more than enough for you to say it was not out and more than enough for you to say it was out, depending on the angle. I think he probably took it, but because of the slope of the ground, it was always going to be a tricky one.
Yeah, I thought not out at the time, but I also know that you can't tell whether it was or not from the 2D image that we're given. So if anybody says, I know that that wasn't out or I know that it was, sorry, horseshit.
Absolutely.
The umpire had a look and he made a decision based on those pictures. And it's one of those decisions that anyone could have made. It was a coin flip. Maybe it was out, maybe it wasn't. I think probably it was. But the thing that made me think that it wasn't, and if it was an Australian, I know it wasn't, is as soon as he caught it, he said, I'm not sure. And if that's an Australian, it is 1,000,000% not out if an Australian is not sure. But the fact that it was Mitchell was like,
he
I'm
is
not
kind
really
of
sure.
Australian, though, isn't he? Grew up in Perth.
Yeah. See, that's it. But what you should do in that spot is go, I caught it. And then if you're in the umpire's head a bit.
We were taught in Australia, even if you take a half volley, you flick the ball up in the air. N43 says, SA. Humbled Indian fans, New Zealand humbled Shukri Conrad. Yeah, I think there was a lot of people. We did the show yesterday. They deserve to be favourite, South Africa. Me and Rob both thought they were a better team. But I think when you look at it, all things considered, they weren't like a very short price favourite. They were like 160 coming in. So the market wasn't that certain that South Africa was going to win. Indian fans, because South Africa beat India, were the ones who seemed the most certain that South Africa was going to win. I certainly wasn't feeling that way at all.
No, I mean, who's certain that South Africa are going to win a knockout game in white ball?
Also, man.
Not I.
Man makes a very good point.
It was
there.
I'm surprised the manner in which they lost, but not surprised by the result.
Prince says, Hope scored 32 of 33, while Allen scored 100 on the same pitch. West Indies really underestimated themselves while batting. Should have aimed for 240, not 200. Look, I mean, we talked about Hope's innings the other day. Even within this game, these were two different pitches. Right. And Rob and I are lucky enough to have done so much. And so many people who are in the comments will have watched as much, same sort of cricket that we have. Sometimes that just happens. So I don't think you can go back and go, Shai Hope should have scored more. But also at the same time, Shai Hope should have scored more.
Romario should have batted. If you get under par, so there's a few things that piss me off about that. What Hope's innings piss me off. But like you say, that can happen sometimes. Hope still has, the Shai Hope DNA is still in there. So he does have the runner ball 30 in him. And it happened, but they could have done better things. And if you have a man who is capable of scoring 50 or 14 in your team playing against India in a must-win game, basically a quarterfinal, let him have a go and see how many he gets. Because if he comes off, you might get above par, because you can't get below par against that team because you don't have any death bowlers. None whatsoever. No one you can throw the ball to keep runs down, right? So they should have done better with the batting order. They could have... I still can't understand what Roston Chase was in that game. He was suddenly a high-intent run-scoring... he regressed to Roston Chase when he got to 35 or whatever. But in the power play, he was brilliant. But they should have... And the other thing that really pissed me off, which I'm glad I now get to talk about... was when Jason Holder came to the crease and there was five overs left and he was facing Hardik, right? So you have people behind you that can whack, Romario mainly, but you also have other ones that can whack behind you in the order. So you don't, and he went deliberate block, four times, four dots to forward defenses. Unacceptable. I don't care how many he scored after that. Unacceptable to do that, because when you are going to, their best case at that point, their run line never got to 200 and they needed 220. To win. So they're right. They never got up to a point where they should have got a proper score, because they're pissing about blocking in a knockout game against India when they don't have any death bowlers. That's mental, right? You must be swinging for the fences. So just a bit whose job is that? Is that Holder's? Is it the coach? Somebody goes, no. Hardik's bowling. You've got Bumrah over in a minute. You're not allowed to block. If you're going to block, someone else will do it. Motti doesn't block.
Funk Laster says, MLC League is ahead of other leagues except IPL.
No, it isn't.
Next question. Clasher says, should India bat first tomorrow? I have not seen the pitch.
It's pitch seven again.
Pitch seven.
It's the one where in England got stuffed by the West Indies, but Adil Rashid bowled amazing.
Okay.
It's that one. So it's right in the middle, I think. You know, even boundary sizes, both sides. Nepal lost to Italy on that deck. So no one's used it for a while, so we don't know. I guess England won't particularly care the way they're set up. I don't think they'll care that much.
No. That is it for 100 of 33 balls, if you don't mind. and Jared Kimber here. We will see you again tomorrow for more of this kind of stuff. And if you are Finn Allen, maybe have a lay down, because I think he needs the rest. And if you are Colm McConkie, you should probably be doing laps, because you literally played an over at this game. Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.